Rental maven Ron Wolf with his annual pilgrimage to Radio Real Estate, bringing us the Ten Commandments, the new rental housing laws for 2026. He's been on once a year for the past upteen years to update us on all new rental laws. Wolf and Associates, managing approximately 2,000 rental units in the Tri-County area. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Ron Wolf.
Thank you, Mark. Always a pleasure to join you.
Well, thank you, and thank you for compiling all this data. You do a lot of work and put it together, and we're going to discuss it. A lot of bills are introduced, and what are the number of bills that were introduced and what were signed and what were related to real estate?
Well, from what the published numbers are, they said there were 2,833 bills were introduced in 2025. Less than half, about 1,049, were sent to the governor for signature. 991 were actually signed and 123 were vetoed. So they say about 10% of those bills had an actual impact on rental housing providers. And there were also two major rent control efforts, as well as proposals to freeze rents, emergency statewide rent caps, operational fees were discussed, eviction timelines were done, and types of notices for residents were included in all this. So it was a busy year for the legislature and also for the housing providers to deal with how these bills came together.
And when we spoke on the phone, you mentioned freeze rents. That would be freeze rents after emergencies, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a mouthful. That's a lot of bills. One of the first bills is habitability mandates that require rental units to include a working stove and refrigerator at the start of a new or renewed tenancy. And that's interesting because I always thought a working stove was required, and I basically always seem to see refrigerators and stoves available. But I read in Los Angeles that that was not the case. A lot of times there were no refrigerators. So what does this new law mean, and what do you think of it?
Well, it's an interesting one. And first, before we get into that, just be aware relative to some of these bills. You know, we can highlight them here, but this year there seemed to be a lot of nuances and exceptions and ambiguities. So the intent is to flag them for listeners to be aware. And if the issues come up, they know there's something that they need to research a little bit more. But there's a lot in some of these bills and a lot of nuances that need to be addressed if they actually apply. But relative to your specific question, our experience is very rare that people don't, or property owners don't provide stoves and refrigerators. I know we started doing it years ago, in part due to demand, but also when people move new refrigerators in or stoves in, there's always a chance of tearing up the floor and creating other problems. So not quite sure why they passed this bill, but basically if for any tenancy that's renewed, any rent increase, any change in the terms, any new tenants added or the lease extended, the owner must provide a working stove and refrigerator.
Okay. And I don't see any, personally, I don't see any problem with that. As you said, mostly in Santa Barbara, everyone did anyway.
Yes.
And it seems to behoove the landlord to avoid having a tenant move something in and out. That stays. Does it have to have a ice maker, the refrigerator?
No, not that I'm aware of. But it does need to be a refrigerator. Also, there is a little exception in this where the lessee or the tenant can provide their own refrigerator, but not their stove. It must be voluntary. And if they do it, then there's some specific lease language that is required. And another little twist to that is if they provide their own refrigerator and say it dies and they decide they want the owner to provide the refrigerator, they have the right to change their mind. And within 30 days, the owner has to provide the refrigerator.
I don't see anything in your notes about the size of the refrigerator. I imagine they can't provide a little dorm room 1 cubic foot refrigerator, but I don't know if they delineated that or not.
I didn't see anything relative to that, but that's an interesting point, and it goes back to the nuances. Do you get away with a mini size fridge, or do you have to do full size? Yeah, but that's, I guess, what disagreements are made out of.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. My guest, Ron Wolf, rental property manager, over 2,000 units in the Tri-Counties areas that he manages. And we're talking about some new rental laws here for 2026. I did read not too long ago in the LA area that there was talk of the LA City Council wanting to mandate air conditioning. Now, of course, plumbing, heat, all need to be electricity need to be supplied. And I read into it and found out that Palm Springs has a rule that units, rental units, have to apply supply air conditioning. And but boy, that would be I mean, so many people who own homes can't afford to put in their own air conditioning, so it seems a little extravagant to require landlords to put in air conditioning. Do you agree?
Yes, there's been a lot of discussion on this. It was much more hotly discussed. Hotly is probably not the right word. Was in 2024. Didn't see as much of it last year, but it certainly is something that's on the back in terms of being considerate. It is a major expense. Impacts the power grid substantially. There are a lot of pros and cons to the whole concept, so I'm not sure where it's going to go.
Yeah, it seems to be what most people would deem to be a luxury. As I said, most people who own their own homes, I don't know what the ratio is, but at least in Santa Barbara. Now, in Palm Springs, I imagine every homeowner has air conditioning, but in Santa Barbara, it's a little different. Okay, well, that's interesting. So we'll see how that goes. The second bill that you mentioned is something to do with post-disaster responsibilities. Either natural or man-made, flood, fire, riot, storms. What is the new law, and how does this apply for post-disaster responsibilities?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and it's come to light in part because of floods and mudslides that we've had in Santa Barbara, but more specifically due to the fires in Los Angeles. And the legislature decided to get involved in it. They tried to define what some of these disasters are, and it's pretty broad. It's natural, man-made. It can be earthquake, flood, fire, riot, storms. It's bit of complex legislation in that it applies or it has different mandates, but it does apply to all properties. There are no exceptions. It mandates that the lessor is responsible to make repairs to return the space to habitable within a reasonable time, which is typical. They haven't defined reasonable, so there's a little flag in there when you look at what's going on in LA and the times it takes, or even, I guess, in many areas, it takes a long time to rebuild after this type of an impact. But there's an issue clearly stated in this law that the presumption is the unit is not habitable until it's cleared of all toxic substances, including environmental debris, and signed off by a public official. And that creates another question is, it's very hard to get rid of all environmental debris. So, is there a percentage? And it's not defined in the legislation. So, it's just a flag. It's a standard that needs to be addressed and worked through as to what the clear definition is. Interestingly, the public agencies are not compelled to make a determination. So, there's some ambiguity in this whole thing. But what has been made clear too is, rent, if there is a loss, is prorated to the date of the loss. So there's no rent due until it's habitable. The rent suspended during any mandatory evacuation, which is an interesting twist. And once the property is rebuilt, if the lessee is provided an address and told the owner that they want to move back in, they have the right to return at the same rental rate. So the probably only other two things of there. The lessor, if the lessee wants to move back in, but is concerned about any of the environmental reports, there is an obligation to provide copies of those reports, which seems fair and reasonable. And then the kind of the twist in this whole thing is by law, many tenancies terminate if a property is destroyed. So this is a bit in conflict with what this Post-Disaster Responsibilities Act has created. But again, that's something that hopefully doesn't get litigated, but it gets worked out amicably between the parties.
Well, but when you have conflicting rules, and then that's when attorneys get involved. My guest, Ron Wolf, rental maven, owner of Wolf and Associates in the Tri-Counties area, is managing about 2,000 rental units. On its face, this seems fair. If someone has mold in their house, it develops. Sadly, it could have been initiated and started by the tenant because he, took showers with no shower curtain. I've heard some. I just read an interview with and I hope to have him on as a guest. The president of the Apartment Association in Greater Los Angeles, where the tenant could, I mean, look, they're bad tenants, they're bad landlords. Create a situation where they create a wet situation, and they don't even ask and contact the landlord, and they contact the government agency, and then suddenly it triggers non-payment of rent. So that's now mandatory evacuation. So if fire or flood something deemed could be coming. Does that also mean that the landlord's mortgage company will suspend mortgage payments during a mandatory evacuation?
Well, let me back up just real quick. Mold and mildew are a little bit different, or substantially different than post-disaster, but whole separate topic. But relative to lenders, historically lenders have worked. I'm not aware of any legislation that sets that up right now, but the mentality seems to be that if lenders come in and foreclose because of some of these issues, that the legislature is going to step in and create some rules. That just seems to be consistent with the posture that they've been taking on some of these other laws.
Okay, and good to draw the distinction, but due to post-disaster, rent is suspended, and no rent is due until it's habitable. Are you the property manager for Mickey Rourke, the actor? Do you know his story? He's suing, or he's withheld about $60,000 in rent. Do you know that story?
I know the story. We're not the manager. Probably would never let him get to 60,000 to begin with, but that's a whole different topic.
Well, that's Los Angeles. My guest, Ron Wolf, Wolf and Associates Property Managers. We're talking about 2026 new laws. And, I'm looking at the clock. We have a couple of things that you said you could go through very quickly. Let's try to, you know what? I'm going to do something else. Let's take a break. Let's take a commercial break. My guest, Ron Wolf, Wolf and Associates, will come back. There's some expectations for 2026, some general proposals that could come about. And then there's some three quick issues about security deposits, Social Security related payment delays, and internet billing. My guest, Ron Wolf, Juan Valdez, I thought I was talking to the coffee guy. Ron Wolf, Wolf and Associates. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.